Good Saturday morning, Arizona homeowners. It is Rosie on the house. The 8 o'clock hour, outdoor living hour. On this day, I have good news. I know you've been sweating all week. You're thinking, is this ever going to break? I have good news. We are now on the downside.
I know. The days are getting shorter.
We are 2 days shorter than our longest day of the year, or 2 minutes shorter.
I know. So it should be cooling off
so
right
we're,
quick,
we're
right?
Getting into the cooling season. We're right there.
It's coming, baby. It's coming.
At least it's going in the right direction, maybe.
If you've got a question about your landscape, garden, lawn, or lack thereof at this point in time, you can get John J. Harper of Harper's Nursery by dialing 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text your question to 411-923, or if you've got a picture of something you want to identify or need help explaining your situation, you can email that picture to info@rosieonthehouse.com.
Is that solstice?
The summer is the solstice, the winter is the solstice, and the spring and fall are equinoxes.
Okay.
Don't ask me to explain why they're different, but
I was talking to Dr. Sky, and he said we had a full moon on the summer solstice.
That was kind of unusual, I guess.
And it's been the first time like in 80 years, and it's not going to happen again for another 80 years.
Okay.
So we'll have to have Dr. Sky.
I guess we won't see that one.
There's a lot of interesting things going on in the sky, so we'll have to have him on in the next week or two. Did you see that satellite that they're going to crash down to Earth? It's all full of trash from the space station?
No. Interesting.
Are they going to guide it right into like the dump over here?
I don't know if they're going to put it at Cave Creek landfill or where.
Yeah.
We'll have to have him on. Anyway, Outdoor Living Hour, John J. Harper.
On a 110-plus day.
Let's talk.
So All the rules change.
We were talking about super cooling and cooling your house when it gets that hot. Your irrigation system, and let's just suppose that you have your irrigation system set right for normal summer watering, and everything's going along just right, and all of a sudden it's 113, then 115, then 118, or whatever it is, and it stays at or about 110 plus, you have to just literally throw your schedule out the window, go out and look at plants. Or just know that you need to water again about half again more often than you were. It's that's not normal summer conditions. I mean, quite frankly, that's hell.
Father's Day,
Sunday,
3 o'clock in the afternoon, the asphalt, I had to do this.
Okay.
The asphalt in front of my house was 156 degrees.
Yeah. Well, and remember, and I think a lot of people know this, but remember, they take the official temperature 6 feet off the ground in the shade.
Interesting.
So I didn't know that.
The thermometer is in a little box. Okay. So it's not the sun is not beating on it directly. Put a thermometer out there and let the sun be and just let the sun beat on it and see what it is. Or do what you did. So where those plants are down on, if you've got gravel or rock, you know,
you're torturing your plant.
It's not 118. It's 130, 40, 50, whatever it is. The soil is hot. It only cooled down to 89 or 88 or 90 or whatever, so they don't recover. And so you have to just go out, cycle it manually, water again. Your normal watering pattern, you know, assuming you even have it set right, which most people don't anyway, is just not enough. So
we'll call it the sympathy cycle.
That's great. You know, it's a handy thing if you can have a plant. I call it an indicator plant, but the least common denominator plant in your garden, the one that probably needs the most water, and watch it. And it'll tell you. Now, you may have to overwater some other stuff, or you can just hand water things with the hose. There's nothing wrong with that. But have some kind of indicator in your garden that goes, when that plant wilts, in mine it's Cape honeysuckle. It's probably the least drought-tolerant plant I have in my landscape. And when I know when it kind of gets a little bit wilty, I need to water, especially if it's wilty in the early morning. Now, you can walk out there Sunday afternoon And you might have all kinds of things wilting. And you look at the soil and it's wet. Well, it probably isn't going to do a lot of good to add more water to already wet soil. The plant just is not able to keep up. Just like your AC can't keep up, the roots and the gathering mechanisms trying to pump that water up into those leaves of that plant, it just can't keep up. So if, as soon as the sun gets off of them, if they recover, you're okay. Check your plants in the morning in the cool hours. If they're wilting already when it's cool, well, they're going to be in real trouble when it gets hot. So make sure you're watering. This is also then a great time, after all this happens in the next week or two, to literally walk around your landscape and evaluate things. Maybe you just put some new plants in. Maybe you're thinking about redoing things. This is a great evaluation time, just like sometimes after a hard freeze. We know that, okay, these certain plants, maybe they just weren't the best plant, or maybe they're in the wrong place. Or, you know, you got a little bit of sunburn on some things. You know, that's not the end of the world either. You know, the plants, most of them will recover from that. Don't go out there and just prune it all off yet. Mm-hmm. Just like after a freeze, when we have freeze damage, you know, that'll lend some protection, some sunburned foliage out on the ends of probably rose bushes don't look so good right now. Maybe even Cape honeysuckle. Some of those things are just a little bit, you know, more finicky. You know, just leave that kind of burnt leaves on there. It'll help shade the rest of the plant. Sometime this fall, you can go in and clean them up. And, you know, I wrote in my newsletter this week, too, you know, sometimes it's okay. I just left a little town in Ohio doing a judging, and, you know, they got like 3.5-4 month growing season. They plant stuff, and they know it's not going to make it through the winter. So plant some stuff in the winter and have fun with it, and if it doesn't make it through the summer, you know, we spend more money on movies and golf, and it only gives you an hour or two of enjoyment. A plant gives you 4 or 5, 6 months of enjoyment for $20 or $30. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, you get some color, a little aroma.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. So live a little.
Now, is there a wrong time to water during all this heat? I have so many, all 12 stations in my irrigation box are full.
Right.
So, but they need water more frequently than once a week. I mean, if I did once a morning leaving, that would take me almost 2 weeks to circle back.
Right.
And I've got trees that need it more frequently than that. So I'm turning it on sometimes at 1 o'clock in the afternoon when the last cycle runs. Is that, I always think, man, am I just, is that drip evaporating as fast as
That's the beauty of drip, is it's putting water on right on the soil and it's dripping. It's not spraying water out into the already very dry or windy atmosphere. So you're not wasting much water, and with drip, it really doesn't matter. What you don't want to do is wait maybe too late in the day when plants might be distressed to have the water come on. But you certainly don't want to go out and run sprinklers, lawn sprinklers, sprayers in the middle of the day or the hot part of the day. You're going to lose a lot to evaporation. Usually the wind is stronger, so you're going to lose some to being, you know, just being blown out and blown away into the wrong direction. So you want to water with lawn sprinklers or shrub sprays or spray heads in the cool part of the day. Morning's better than night because if we get these warm nights and the humidity picks up and if things stay wet all night long, you can run into some different disease problems. So it's better to water early morning before the sun gets on it and before the wind picks up. But as far as drips go, no. You know, you can run those anytime.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-767-4348. Rosie, for you, as we go to Dewey and Queen Creek. Do I have that correct?
Yes, you do.
Excellent. Welcome to the program, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, I got a question for John Jay or anybody else there that has horses. I got a weed problem in my pasture, and I'm afraid to spray it because the horses are grazing and that kind of thing, and maybe that's my only alternative, but... But anyway, is there any suggestions how to get, you know, something I can use that won't hurt the horses or
get a goat?
That's exactly what I was going to say. How big is your pasture?
Goat? Yeah.
How many goats you want?
Get a goat.
I thought about that.
You're in Queen Creek. That a goat can't be too hard to find.
No, there are plenty of them.
I really would. For
yeah. Not a bad idea.
You could get bulk products. You could spray. But man, yeah, a goat. I haven't used. It was funny, when I brought my weed eater in last week to get it serviced, I laugh. I haven't used this thing in 2 years because I've got the goat on the stake and in a cage. I just rotate them around the yard.
Steak. That sounds like dinner tonight.
Yeah.
No, like a steel steak.
I know.
Well, they'll eat grass too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But they'll eat. They turned goat. I don't know if you're familiar where the 202 and the 101 come together in those big retention recharging basins from the water treatment plant.
Uh-huh,
you know, they had a lot of brush and all kinds of crazy stuff that comes up, as our desert does when it gets some water. And they were using goats. I don't know if they still are. I don't know if they're subcontracted out or who had the goats, but they turned goats loose in there as their brush control because they're not very picky. They'll kind of eat about anything.
Okay.
And occasionally, we'll end up with goats in our backyard. It's got a chain-link fence and a lawn. And, yes, they eat the lawn, but generally speaking, they're a pretty lazy animal, and they find the tallest thing they can see first and go eat that, and the weeds always grow taller than...
Only thing you got to watch is they will eat the bark off you. If you've got trees in the pasture, that sort of thing, you probably want to put some protection on those as well. Am I right about that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
and now that AJRA and the Queen Creek Junior Rodeo Associations are both on summer break, so the people that run the goats are always trying to find homes for all these goats for the summer.
So there you go. Your timing might be perfect.
Call a rodeo association, find out who the head of their goat event is, and
you get a couple loaners.
I don't know that they'd even charge
rent a goat.
Just to not
There's
have
a
to
business
feed them
model.
For the
rent a goat.
Only in Arizona.